God.
Fine. All right, so just to review just the point where we were starting off yesterday was that the Gemara in the Gemara here paskins that Gid Hanasha that Ein Begin Minos Ein Tam, both Gid Hanasha and other kinds of Gidin as well. That's the maskana of the Gemara here. So Tosus points out that the Gemara Msachim, in explaining Rabbi Abahu Shita, or in discussing Rabbi Abahu Shita, that whenever the Torah says, uses even a Lashon Kal of Achila, it implies Isser Achila and Isser Hana, unless the Torah somehow carves out an exception. So the Gemara there said, according to Rabbi Abahu, the Gid Hanasha should be Asur Bahana, unless you say that that when the Torah was matir nevela b'hana, it was matir the gid of the nevela as well. But that possibility can only work if you assume that the gid hanasha of the nevela is asur mitzad nevela, meaning yesh b'gidim eno se tam. That gid didn't have a tam, and therefore when you eat a gid hanasha of a nevela, you're violating not only gid hanasha, you're violating nevela as well. So then you can say when the Torah turned around and was matir one to eat, matir one to get hana from the basar of the nevela, it's matir hana from everything that was nesar of a nevela, including the gid. And if the gid hanasha of a nevela is mutar bana, kavachom in the gid hanasha of a ksher is mutar bana, I see some of you with a night's sleep have settled on and have accepted it. And once you say that, so then the Gemara says Rabbi Abo could hold that a gid hanasha is mutar bana, because that's what the Mishnah, the Gemara thinks there. This is the Gemara's impression. It's maybe not mukha from the Mishnah, but the Gemara, the Mishnah and Sadi Gimel, according to the Gemara Msachim, holds that Gid Hanasha is mutar bana. Why? Because you can send a Yerech to an Achri with the Gid Hanasha still contained within it. Okay? Why does that indicate Hetrana? I'll review in a moment what Tosa said. So now Tosa basically says then that if you paskin, but the Gemara continues there, if Gidin have no Tam, then for Rabbi Abahu, you can't say that when the Torah was matir nevela, it was also matir the gid of nevela, because it never asur the gid of nevela, mitzad nevela. It was only asur mitzad gid. It was like the bones of a nevela. So therefore, if you hold ein megim and no same tam, the Gemara says, Rabbi Abahu would have to say, according to Rabbi Abahu, you'd have to say gid anasha is asur bana. And in fact, there is a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, with gid anasha is mutar bahana. And that machlokas corresponds to a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether or not yesh begim no seitam, ein begim no seitam. And the Gemara Mshachim sort of proves that. So hayotzim and advarma elu is two things. Number one is that if you hold that ein begim no seitam, and you hold like Rabbi Abahu, that iser achila implies automatically iser hana unless stated otherwise by the Torah, then you should hold that gid hanasha is asur b'hana. And that's what Tosus says, that's how we paskin. Since the sugya paskin is ein begim no seitam, Tosus assumes like Rabbi Abahu, even though the Gemara doesn't come to a clear maskana m'sachin, and therefore gid hanasha is asur b'hana. Yeah?
Is chaylev not included in it?
Chaylev has its own pasuk. We're going to see that sugya later. Even if you don't want to say chaylev is included in that, chaylev is a beferish pasuk, one way or the other. There's no way around that. There's virtually no way of avoiding that.
I think everybody also agrees it gives off talam.
That's correct. Yeah, so everybody, chaylev, right, the Gemara suggests the possibility that you don't buy into this kishahutra svara. Tomorrow later. But you're correct. Everybody, of course, chaylev is tam. And on top of that, there's a beferish pasuk anyway in Parshas Tzav. Okay, but now, so Tosus then just notes that Minhag Ashkenaz was to sell the garbage meat that you pulled out with the gid hanasha to the guy. So how can you do that if gid hanasha is asur bana? So Tosa says, because that's not getting hana from gid hanasha, because when the guy gives you money, he's only giving you for the stuff that has meat flavor in it. So it just happens to be a gid, strewn about in the middle of that meat. So the only problem, as Tosa points out, is that it seems to contradict the Mishnah in Sadi Gimel. The Mishnah says you can't, the Gemara's understanding of the Mishnah is that sending the entire gid with the gid inside it, somehow, the Gemara says, constitute a violation of Heter Hana from Gid Hanasha. And obviously the Mishnah holds that it's Mutar Bana. How is that any different? So Tosus came up with this answer that I really didn't understand, that there you're benefiting because the Yerech is whole, and therefore the fact that it appears the way it does, it's real eskabit b'fnei hagoy, and that's getting Hana from the Gid. Whereas here, you're just sending him the refuse of the meat that you ripped out inside, that along with it, when you traber the Gid, you can't just pull the Gid out, you pull some meat that's around it, so therefore, in that case, there's nothing mechubad about the appearance of the pile, so basically when you're selling it to him, he's paying you only for the meat, he's not paying you for the Gid, and therefore there's no Heter Hana. Okay, whatever, so there may be problems with that in Tosus. However, so put that aside, that's Tosus. But the problem we concluded with yesterday is that how does the Rambam paskin? The Rambam paskins gid hanasha mutar bana. And therefore, you're allowed to send a yerech shleima to a guy. The Rambam paskins it seems like Rabbi Abo, because he says Kol Malkum Shana Mar Torah Lo Socha Lo Socha Lo Yochal Lo Yochal Echad Esachil Echad Esanav BeMashma, just like Rabbi Abo. It's Mamish Rabbi Abo's formulation. And the Rambam in Hilchos Machalos Asuros in Perek Tesvav Halacha Yudzayin, which I did not put on the sheet again, I apologize. The Rambam writes that when you mashire to be mevatel isurin, you don't have to count the gid. You only have to count the shum and the gid. You don't count the gid because the gid has no flavor. So what do you do with this Rambam? What do you do with the Rambam? Now I have to eschata ayani maskirayom, but it might be darki bakodesh. I didn't look to see if Reb Chaim says I don't have anything to say on this. So if somebody has a chance, you should look to see if Reb Chaim attempts to deal with this. I suspect not, because there's a very, because the type of answers you're going to give and the things that Kalman is giving, the one we're going to give really are not conceptual answers. They're a question of how you play with sugyos and so on. But it's worth seeing what Reb Chaim does. But anyway, so that was the question we left with. How can the Rambam paskin ein begimin o sintam, giran oshem mutabana, and paskin like Rabbi Abo all at the same time? Okay, that's like burning the candle on all three ends, if there were such a thing. Jason, was there a question here? That I was... No, okay. That was the question. All right, it's not unusual. So, one, a brief sort of methodological tangent here. You should be aware that, obviously, the history in Stiris and the Rambam... the Stiris and the Rambam have a very, very long history in terms of trying to resolve them. Starting with the Nosei Ke... Starting with... Actually, who's the first one to deal with Stiris and the Rambam? Maybe, not really. The Rabbi doesn't deal with Stiris and the Rambam. The Rabbi just attacks the Rambam. The Chacham Elunel. The Chacham Elunel are the ones who send many shilas to the Rambam. We have them in some of these in the Chuvas of the Rambam. There are many Chuvas to the Chacham Elunel about various types of questions, some of which are Mishnah Torah related, some which are not Mishnah Torah related. And this was a question, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, did somebody think the Chacham Elunel did comment about this? The Nosei Kelim do quote this, yes. So there are a lot of those. And obviously the Nosei Kelim of the Rambam, starting with the Magen Mishnah, who was a contemporary of the Ran, I think they were Chavrusas, and followed by the Kesser Mishnah of Yosef Karo, and then many later commentaries, deal with all these types of issues. Obviously, the problem in dealing with the Rambam is a code, not a perush on the Gemara. But if you're clever, you can sometimes use the Rambam as a perush on the Gemara, but it's not easy to do. Now, the solution to solving problems in the Rambam, there are many different kinds of solutions that one can use. The first obvious solution is to check the text of the Rambam. And frequently, the source of many problems is simply an errant text. We have the good mazel of a subgroup of Jews, the Yemenites, who were very, very faithful scribes and very faithful to the Rambam, who were very good copyists, who were, in the work that I've seen personally in working with Mishnah manuscripts, they are like kumat to the letter. Maybe they'll abbreviate sometimes Beis Shammai is Beis Shin, but that's about all they'll change on the Rambam. Ksiv Mala, Ksiv Chasid, they're virtually, like Medakte Kichur Hasara. So when you have, we have Yemenite Kisveyad of the Mishnah Torah, which are pretty reliable. We also happen to have, for the first two Chalakim, two Sfarim of the Rambam, Ava and Mada, Mada and Ava, we have not an autograph of the Rambam, but we have a manuscript, contained in 80, which the Rambam himself was Magia. You know, that he made whatever corrections. And so that basically is essentially the equivalent of an autograph. There's some very famous problems that were resolved by that. I'll mention one, which I think all of you know already, which is the Rambam's, the identification of the Aleppo Codex as the manuscript of that Aaron ben Asher that the Rambam refers to. When Kasuto was given access to it in the 40s, he said this is not what the Rambam had, because the Rambam says that Hazinu has 70 lines, and in the Keter it only has 67. Well, P.S., the Rambam wrote 67, but somebody changed the text of the Rambam in order to conform to what we have on a Sefer Torah. In fact, Moshe is not here. Is Moshe here this morning? But we learned Hilchos. Went through Sefer Ava last year, and when you learn Hilchos Brachos in the Rambam, you would not believe what the printers did to the text. There are cases where you can see that Hagos of the Hagos Maimonides don't make any sense because he had a different he had the correct text of the Rambam in front of him, and he writes things, and you look at the text, and you can't figure out what he's talking about. Somebody took a steamroller and ran over Sefer particularly Hilchos Brachos to make it conform to our Nuschaos of Brachos. But in fact, frequently there are many, many differences. So the first solution to many problems.
Why would one do this if you say, for example, couldn't just pass him against the rabbit, why would you have to make the rabbit put more?
Because you want to call Yisrael kishachad chaverim. This is standard. Because how could the Rambam Hakadosh possibly say this? Whatever. But that's what happened. Forgetting about why it happened, it did happen. So the first place to look, in fact, is a kisveyat. And it's worth noting here that a senior colleague of mine was quoted in a Beis Yitzchak article a number of years ago. The Beis Yitzchak article was an attack on a number of Darchei Elim, and mine was not prominently featured. Rabbi Rosenzweig was the primary focus of the attack, which I thought was a little bit disrespectful, given that it was a Talmud in his Kollel. Anyway, in this particular article, he cited another Rebbe who wrote that that really, even though you might have a lot of Torah said on the Rambam, you know, on Aaron text, Hashgacha Pratis, that the text would wind up that way. And therefore, to provide us with all of this Torah. That's very nice, but I really am reluctant to read the mind of God, because it was the same God who allowed the corrupt text to exist, who also allowed the correct text to be discovered. So what is God telling us now? That's number one. And number two, it brings to mind a very famous story. I think Eliezer Berkovitz tells this in his Hesped. It's printed in Tradition for the Sri Deish, which he tells the story of David Zvi Hoffman, which he used. There was this vacation spot that apparently a lot of the European Rosh Hashiva used to go to, the spa, and they used to do such things. They were actually normal people, and they needed a vacation. And so there was somebody asked David Zvi Hoffman a kasha about a Rashi, and Rashi and Chumash David Zvi Hoffman said, your girsa is wrong. And so when he brought he went and visited the spa, and he's talking to some Eastern European Rosh Hashiva, whom he presented this problem in Rashi. He told him David Zvi Hoffman's solution, and he didn't like it, and he gave this whole pilpul. So when David Zvi Hoffman met up with this gadol, and it's a 50-year thing, so he told them, you know what the difference between you and me is? He said, when I die at Me'av Esrim and I go up to heaven, Rashi's going to come out to greet me and say, thank you very much for being miyashed me and being matzdik me. I really appreciate it. And when you die at Me'av Esrim, the printers are going to come out and greet you and thank you for being matzdik me. So the first solution to the problem is to make sure you have the correct text in the Rambam. But here, that's not a particular solution to the issue. The last solution, and I'm not saying it's last because it's least important, but simply because you have to eliminate, I think, all of the possibilities. First is the conceptual approach, the one that Reb Chaim uses. Sometimes it can be very, very valuable. In between, the step that stands in between the girsa issue and the conceptual approach is the sugya approach, which is to figure out what are all the sugyas and shas that are playing here, and what is the Rambam doing with them. You won't know well, and I've said this before this year, and I've said this many times in the past, that the classic difference between the Baalei HaTosfos and early Chachmei Svara, the Rif and the Rambam, is sort of and the Gaonim, for that matter, is the sort of the instinctual response to a stira between two Gemaras. The Baalei HaTosfos could almost not sleep at night if you had two Gemaras that contradicted one another. It's not that they never say there is such a thing. Sometimes they're forced to acknowledge, talk about Sugyas Hafuchos. But generally speaking, they thought that they could take everything and they could make it, Ole Bikona Echad. And on top of that, communal practice as well. That was, Jacob Katz has pointed out, it's sort of another text. Along with Gemaras that are Gemara that's so, the communal Minhag, and so on and so forth. The Rambam and the Rif were much, much faster to see a stira between two sugyos and to dismiss one and accept the other. We just saw one that was suggested for the Rif. What was that Rif? All the Rishonim disagree. We saw this in Yerodea. That the Rif left out one Gemara, or the Rif left out Chaticha Riliskabe that you're about to see. The Rif doesn't quote it. The reason he doesn't quote it is because the Pashtus, and this is going to be the Tosas we won't get to today, but the bottom, the second half of Tosas Shani, where Tosas points out there seems to be a stira between our Gemara, this din of Chaticha Riliskabe by Nevela, and the din, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Dalet, which seems to reject the Mishnah, and the way the Gemara explains the Tana of the Mishnah, the simple reading seems to reject that there's a din of Chaticha Riliskabe if you're not dealing with Yisuri Hana. So the Rif, so that's why some Rishonim say the Rif left out the din of Chaticha Riliskabed here, because he paskin like the Gemara and the Mishnah, Stam Mishnah of Avodah Zarah, and the way the Gemara understood it there, and rejected this Mishnah. Most other Rishonim, work out some type of, Tosus works out at least one answer, tries to work out kind of a Yishuv, but that's sort of classic early Chachmei Sfarad. You have a Stira. Okay, so the question then is, so now, when you deal with the Rambam Misosa himself, so the question is, Is it that you know? So there's of course another possibility. The other possibility is the Rambam changed his mind and we forgot what he wrote. And I think in some of the Tshuvas of the Chachmei Luna, I know certainly the former, he said that he changed his mind and he forgot to go back and amend the other one. Sometimes the Rambam may have forgotten. He was a very busy man. What he produced was an astounding piece of work when you think about it, given everything he had going around in his life. But it's possible that he did forget. But before going to that approach, because that's sort of really the last resort, the question is, does the Rambam working with different sugyos? What do the Nosei Kalim, so anybody has either the Magen Mishnah or the Kesef Mishnah in front of him, what do the Nosei Kalim say? They quote the Ramban. I thought this was odd, but I haven't seen the original Ramban, so what do they say? Ari, go ahead. Read the Kesef Mishnah. Is anything unclear about what the steer on the Rambam is? Again, he paskins that Ein Begin Nosei Tam. He paskins like Rabbi Abo that Lo Yochal Stam Vinyan Kal implies even Isser Hana, unless the Torah gives you an exemption. And finally, he paskins the Gid Anasha is Mutar Bana, and that shouldn't be. The logical conclusion according to the Gemara Pesachim from the first two is that Gid Anasha is Aser Bana. So, Ari, go ahead. So if you say like Chizkiya, you get around the problem because you don't hold that lo yochal lo yochlu stam, but the Rambam doesn't paskin that way. In the very next, he goes on, doesn't he? He goes on. Right, the next halacha, he writes straight out. So it's almost like the Rambam was teasing you. He was doing a tease, right? Because all of a sudden, he has to, the next thing he has to quote right here, after saying, Gid Anasha's Mutar Bana, he has to say to you, and by the way, I hold like Rabbi Abahu, and still Gid Anasha's Mutar Bana, right? So, so, one more piece of the methodological introduction, the controversy. There was a professor of Talmud here for many years, Professor Meir Simcha Feldblum, Zecharon of the Bracha. He was the Talmud professor in Revel of any number of the senior Rashi Yeshiva here. Once upon a time, doing a Revel degree in Yeshiva to get smicha was mandatory, or an MHL it was called. Okay, and so many of them took Professor Feldblum, and there were many of them who had very, very powerful ideological disagreements, because Professor Feldblum had some controversial theories that I would agree were somewhat controversial. I think incorrect, actually, is a better way of putting it. He argued that the Rambam... Is that yours or your grandfather's? Very good, okay. So one of his theories was that the Rambam did not hold of the authority of the Stam of the Gemara. That presumes two things. Number one, that the Rambam recognized and distinguished between the layers of the Gemara, which is certainly plausible because most Rishonim who are Parshonim on the Gemara do. They acknowledge them. They acknowledge that fact. Tosus is willing to create Ta'uyos that the Gemara misunderstood. Tosus is a collection of those Tosus and that Dr. Kanefogel has in volume 2 of the Torah Mada journal, where he's got a note there collecting a number of places with Bala Tosus claiming that the Gemara misunderstood what the Amora had said. And other Rishonim as well recognize at least the layers in the Gemara. And so that's plausible. The second assumption is that the Rambam regarded as having lesser authority. And that's the place where I suspect that Hifriz al-Hamida, that he went too far. And I don't mean it from a theological perspective. I think it's not correct. I think the Rambam, more than other Rishonim, who has certain views on the redaction of the Gemara, at least perhaps simplified views, I imagine being much less likely to have seen distinctions in layers, number one. And number two, I think that he's confusing the stam of the Gemara with a different type of phenomenon with the which the Nosei Kelim of the Rambam already identified, which is sort of what's being said here. There is to take a parallel to this Rambam, another famous, I think it's a famous question asked on the Rambam. It's in the last parak of Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, it's parak Yudalin. The Gemara, any of you learn Bava Kama, the second parak? The guys have been here long enough know not to raise their hands, because they're going to say, oh, well, don't you remember? Okay, so the Gemara there, you know, there's a din of Tamun Ba'esh, that if you light a fire and it travels into your friend's field and it burns a haystack, and inside that haystack you had your diamond cutting tools, that he's chayiv to pay you the haystack full of wheat, not the diamond cutting tools. It's a p'tur of Tamun Ba'esh. Oha kama, oha sadeh. Ma sadeh bagaloy, afko bagaloy. Now, the Gemara then has a famous machlokas, Rabbi Veshlakish and Rabbi Yochanan, Isho Mishum Chitzo, Isho Mishum Mamono. Now, the way the Bavli understands is that if you hold Isho Mishum Chitzo, it's like you shot an arrow, then the Ptur of Taman Ba'esh doesn't make any sense, because if I go over to your wheat stack, and I'm so mad at you, I just punch a hole through it, and I smash your valuable kalim, I'm chayiv. Adam Amazik is chayiv. So if Isho Mishum Chitzo, why should Taman Ba'esh be potter? So the Gemara comes up with this wild ukimta, which is that the only time you putter on Taman Ba'esh, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Isha Mishum Chitzo, is when you lit the fire, there was a solid stone wall there, or something that was a barrier, and the fire on its own, you're not poshea for anything beyond that. You're not, at that time, your chitzim would not have penetrated the wall, and the fire would have stopped there, and then the wall collapses. Let's assume it was a weak wall, but it still was there. The wall collapses, and there the fire spreads beyond that. So the fire beyond that wall, the Gemara says, is even according to Rabbi Yochanan, is Isha Mishim Amono, and that's where you'd be Pater on Taman Beish.
So
now, you can guess.
Then by that logic, I can now say if it burns 500
Yosef, I don't want to do Taman Beish. So that's what the Gemara says. The Rambam, and you have a certain chush with the Rambam, you can figure out, I could have told you, looking at the Gemara there, you knew when the Rambam was going to paskin in Taman Ba'esh, he was going to paskin in Taman Ba'esh, the Chacham against Rabbi Yehuda, and you know he wasn't going to mention that Ukimta. And he's going to assume that, and the Rambam also paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, Isha Mishum Chitzav, he does as well. So the question is, what's going on there? So the Magid Mishnah just writes there that the derech of the Rambam sometimes is the paskin like the pshutan shel Mishnayos and Brisos, and again some ukimtas of the Gemara. It happens to be that a lot of ukimtas of the Gemara like that have the fingerprints of the Stam on it. That happens to be true. In other words, it's this construction of an abstract machlokas hamorayim, and then to try to really push that through on everything and fit all the details into it. It happens to be classically work of the Stam. I don't remember offhand, but I have examples when it's actually the amorayim speaking, and the Rambam still ignores it. Right? So in other words, I don't know which is worse, in effect, to say the Rambam doesn't recognize the authority of the Stam, or the Rambam sometimes just doesn't buy into kintas the chukas of the Gemara. You know, I don't know which is theoretically worse, but the Magen Mishnah basically says the latter one, and I think that's really the correct hesper of the Rambam. That's in effect what the Ramban is saying here, that the Gemara makes the, you know, how can you say it's not Haba Hatalia? The Gemara says it's Haba Hatalia, but it doesn't explain. Yeah, but it sounds like a very fancy, elaborate construction. You put all these pieces together. The Rambam held that was, you know, L'Ravcha, the Milsa, but it really is not actually, it's not Haba Hatalia. So that's an answer, but it's not a comforting answer. I think there's a much better answer, and I'm a little bit shocked the Ramban didn't say it, unless the Ramban was Marech and their Mekater. There's a much better answer than just saying the Rambam didn't buy the whole, you know, that it was Mamish Haba Hatayah. And then it was just the Rav Chodeh Milsa. And that is the Gemara later Msachim. It's the Gemara later Msachim. I don't know some of the I don't know who says this already. I learned this many years ago, but I'm sure that some of the Achronim already pointed out the later Gemara, which provides a very simple teretz for the Rambam. Okay, all the shakvataya girsos, you know, fancy footwork, you know, conceptual solutions are unnecessary because it's very clear where the Rambam is coming from. Now, it may be the Ramban is a piece of it. Now, the Rambam may have seen that it was an elaborate construction which he didn't like, but the Gemara actually later tears down that construction. And if the Gemara later tears down the Ukimda, then the Rambam is not going to be bound by it. And then, if the Rambam has a sugi that says Yesh begin that ain't begin minos ain't tam hilchasa, and he has a pshuto shel mishnah, which is that gidonash is muter bana, however that mishnah means it, and then he thinks that Rabbi Abohu is pshat for whatever reason that part I don't know why. So the Rambam will put all three together and will rely upon the fact that the Gemara later says it's not habataya. So what does the Gemara say? May I have a reader? Was there a question before we, Alec?
In Tesva of Yud Zion, where it says the Gidach at the end of the halacha, mm-hmm. Begin
the git alone is not oser betamo because it has no tam.
You're not mashar against it, so that maybe Rabbi Abahu's statement is only talking about something that, yes, there might be an isra achila because that's a halacha yisera about the isra achila, but like you quoted yesterday, it's like eating a piece of wood.
So
drasha doesn't even apply here.
So the question is though, Rabbi Abahu's, you could argue, and by the way, that statement, I thought it's in the Gemara. In fact, one of the guys was talking, thought Rashi says in the Gemara, or sounds like, but that statement, Eitz bi'alma v'tora chirochiva lav, or Torah sratu, does not appear in the Gemara. That's a term of Rashi in Psachim. But what you're saying, you're giving a different teretz that the Gemara didn't give. The Gemara could have turned around and said that if you hold, you're saying the Gemara could have said, if ein beginim and no sein tam, Rabbi Bo's statement as a generic statement does not apply to this.
So the Gemara didn't.
But so the Gemara didn't give that answer.
Yes.
So and I could I don't I'm not going to go into why. I could give logical reasons why it actually makes Rabbi Bo's didn't makes even more sense when it comes to Giran Asha if it's aiming no same time. But either way, whether you think it makes more or less sense, the Gemara didn't think that was a teretz. Now you could say if the Maskanas HaGemara ultimately, if we're about to look at, is that it's not Habatalia, you could then say that the Gemara had another answer it could have given, right? Once the Gemara gives an answer to be Docha something, you can say that there were three other possible answers and the Gemara just never gave them. Rishonim do that all the time. That's like almost like a Lita'amech, right? Now, it's not exactly a Tamech, but it's in other words, it could have had another answer, but the Gemara only gave one and that was enough for the Gemara. So it's possible, but at least the Gemara doesn't really think that that's a reason to reject. To reject this as a kasha.
Well, we're making an akimtin, according to what I'm saying, we're making an akimtin Rabbi Abahu.
I agree with the Gemara, at least in its question, rejects your idea. By asking the kasha from Gid Anasha and not immediately dismissing it based on what you're saying, it rejects that premise that you're suggesting. Now, unless you want to argue. No, unless you want to argue that once the Gemara rejects the connection for other reasons, that it could have also answered this, it's possible. But it's not mashma that way, at least from the Gemara. Okay, so what is the Gemara? Yeah, Avigal?
Do we have that Ramban?
I did not look. I don't know. I would guess the Ramban. Do we have Ramban Amsachim? If it's not there, I don't know where it would be. I mean, it's possible it's on Gid Anasha. There's not so much either, but I didn't check. If I didn't have what I thought was a much better answer, unless that is what the Ramban says, I should have gone thinking, but I didn't. Okay, so now, can I have a volunteer, please? Someone who would like to read the last Gemara in Pesachim. Avi. I don't know if he's read yet. You've read. I want to get new people reading, unless you've read too.
Okay.
A new face to read. I know you've read, but a new face to read. Okay, come on. Good.
Lema
Kitanoi.
Lema Kitanoi. Yes, Lechom Malacha. Matam Avomar Lechom Malacha.
So what's the Gemara's question? By the way, it's a very confusing Rashi here. The printers made a mistake, and a couple of you, I thank you, bring it to my attention. Rashi, if you look, if any of you have a Pesachim in front of you, Ari, what does Rashi say, the first Dibur Maskal on the Sugya? If you read this Rashi, you've been scratching your head. What's the Dibur Maskal? Lachol Melacha, right? Yaselam Lacha, excuse me. Yaselam Lacha. What's that? Yaselam Lacha. And that's the Dibur Maskil. There are no such words in the Gemara. And somebody accidentally stuck a period in after Yaseh Melacha. It's one of those Rashi. It should be one of those Rashis that's between colons. He's just commenting what the kasha of the Gemara is, not being on a specific statement. He's saying Yaseh Melacha. It should have written. It shouldn't have said Yaseh Lechol Melacha. And the entire Machlokas HaTanayim is predicated on the word Lechol. Okay, but that it's very confusing. A couple of you brought that to me. And what exactly is Rashi doing? The answer is there's no period there, and it's not. It's a general comment that Rashi has. Okay, go ahead.
Shiachol lemalachas givay mutar lemalachas hedyot yehi aser. Talmud lomar lechom malacha. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglut. Rabbi Kiva omer shiachol lemalachas hedyot yehi tower lemalachas givay yehi tamin. Talmud lomar lechom malacha.
Okay, so now that's what the Braisa says. That the reason why it has to say lechom malacha, because if it had not said lechom malacha, it only said yaseh malacha, I would have assumed lemalacha, but not for all malacha. There would be certain restrictions on it. So Rabbi Yossi Aglut thought that you wouldn't be allowed to get hana except for hektesh for it. Why would you have thought that it's only mutter lagavoa? If your assumption is that it's talking about an isur heter of hana, why would you thought it's only lagavoa? What's that? No, but why legavo as opposed to hedyot? We're more machmir for things for hektesh than we are for hedyot. The things that are mutter lehedyot, but also legavoa. A behema which is nearby, you can shecht and eat if they're no if it's not in not with edim, but you can't bring it as a carbon. So why here would you think that it's mutter lachas gavoa but not lachas hedyot? Maybe not really. Kol chaylev shor v'chesef o'ez lo so chaylev. It's a new parsha on its own right. It's hard to argue that's more kachan than mechulam. What's the reason that you would think? And then the chaylev neveila chaylev treifa yasel chol malacha. You might get a treifa in kachim. You don't typically get neveila by kachim. You can. I'm not saying you can't have it, but you wouldn't expect a kohanim to make nevelas. Treifas is beyond their control. So why is it so pashut that it's going to be mutar lagavoa in terms of hana and not? And only also, let's say, to anoint or to lubricate, you know, hektesh leather being used in some hektesh context, but not for hedyo. Alec?
This gets maybe malacha. It just implies more in terms of hedyo behavior.
Can hektesh eat chalef?
Yes.
It's one of those funny exceptions. Even though normally that which a hedyot is not allowed to eat is also on the mizbeach. It's the gemara at the beginning of this parak of Gidanosha, which we're not going to do. That mimashke Yisrael and amuto li Yisrael, chaylev is obviously an exception. It's an exception probably because the whole reason why chaylev is also for hedyo to eat is because it's burned on the mizbeach. So even by a non kachim animal, it's still usher to eat. So that's why it's an exception. But the bottom line is that hektesh is allowed to eat chaylev. And if Hektish is allowed to eat Chaylev, then Mizbeach is allowed to eat Chaylev, and they talk about Achilas Mizbeach, then certainly Hektish can get Hana from Chaylev. So the only shy is, can a Hedyot get Hana as well? Okay.
No matter, regardless of whether or not it's Hana
from Chaylev? Well, there's no Saint Tom by definition can only be by Achila. You don't eat leather.
No, we do discuss it in the Dav.
No Saint Tom?
Yes.
No, they don't. No Saint Tom is never, ever, ever, ever used in the Mishnah when it comes to Nindamina. It's impossible.
No, fine.
Not in the Mishnah. Gemara might have.
Talks about
Dom. Nah. No, move on. They talk about Mara there, and it's not Dom Bedam. Okay, so now, what about Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva doesn't see the need to a pasuk to teach you Heter Hana'a from Chalef. He doesn't see the need for a pasuk for hetar not for chaylev, but he does see the need to tell you that chaylev nevela and chaylev treifa are tahorim lemelachas gavoa. Now here, the scales in effect can flip. Why? Because you never bring chaylev nevela and chaylev treifa on the mizbeach. That's by definition. It's the very definition. So when the Torah tells you that chaylev nevela and chaylev treifa, if you're talking about tuma v'tara, which is the more obvious one where it's not going to be tameh? From the perspective of tuma v'tara, which one is it clearly going to be more mutter by? By hedyot, because there's no isser, even if it is tameh. In other words, a nevela, it really doesn't apply to treifa. What's the difference between a nevela and a treifa? What is a nevela? What is a treifa? Maybe I should have said this at the outset. We haven't done a cheshkita. Avi? See, you have to go a step further. Nevela is an animal that dies without a proper shechita. That can mean with a bat shechita or with no shechita at all. A treifa is an animal that has a proper shechita. You can be a treifa without a proper shechita, but if a treifa dies without a proper shechita, it's a nevela. Okay, but a treifa is defined as an animal without a which has a proper shechita, but it turns out there's something defective in the animal. What's the difference? You're not allowed to eat either. You get malchus reading both. No. Nevela is metame. Treifa is not metame. What shechita accomplishes for a treifa is that it's metaret mide tumas nevela. Okay.
Wait, which one?
Nevela is metame. Shechita saves nevela from tuma. That's what it accomplishes. So, there's a possibility one might have thought that chaylev nevela, chaylev treifa obviously is tahar. Why would it be different than the basar? But chaylev nevela, one might have thought, in fact, is tame. Why? Because it's nevela. So the Torah says, v'chaylev nevela v'chaylev treifa ye'aseh le'chol malacha. even l'malachas gavoa, meaning that it's tahor. It's not only tahor lehedyot, because for hedyot it doesn't matter whether it's tahor or tameh, it's tahor even l'gavoa. Now, the Gemara now responds. Now the Gemara spells this out, and then it goes a step further. Go ahead, Avi. Okay, now the truth is the Gemara has made an assumption here which perhaps is challengeable, but we're going to have to accept it. Rabbi Yosef, based on what we have explained, Rabbi Yosef HaGalili's, well, even from both perspectives, it's not entirely clear why you should prefer one over the other. In other words, how do you know that Rabbi Akiva doesn't require pasuk for tumutara? Maybe he holds its tameh. And maybe, in fact, Rabbi Yosef HaGalili, it's not that he doesn't need a pasuk to teach you the heter. I'm sorry, I got that backwards. In other words, maybe, how do you know for Rabbi Yosef HaGalili, maybe, in fact, it is tameh, and you can't use it. You can't use chaylan vela lagavoa when things that would tum of tara be a problem. Maybe for Rabbi Akiva, maybe in fact chaylan vela chaytrefa is osur lehedyot. It's only mutter lagavoa. It's mutter. So whatever it is, the Gemara assumes that the other one, of course, is mutter according to each manda amar. The other possibility is davar pashut that it's tahar, that it's mutter. Now, so then bottom line, what are they arguing about? They're arguing about whether or not you need a pasuk to teach you that nevela, that chaylam nevela is mutter bahana, according to, which means whether chaylam in effect is mutter bahana. Rabbi Yosef HaGalili says you need a pasuk to teach you that chaylam nevela is mutter bahana, and Rabbi Akiva says you don't need a pasuk because it's davar pasha. So the Gemara had suggested maybe this Chizkiya and Rabbi Abba are arguing aliba, the Rabbi Yosef HaGalili and Rabbi Akiva. So now the Gemara spells it out. My lab ha'kam etalgi. Who does, huh? So he holds that really lo sochlu is mashma yacharsachila v'charsarna, and the reason why you need a pasuk is because otherwise the chaylev would have been asher bana. Rabbi Akiva savar. Okay. And that's one. And you don't need a pasuk. Now, what is the Gemara answer? I know who does it. Rabbi Yosef Glili doesn't buy into this whole idea. The Gemara says, no, they might not be arguing the same machlokas as Rabbi Abba and Chizkiya. They might be arguing both Aliba and Rabbi Abba. They both hold like Rabbi Abba. The question is, do you say Kishuhutner Nevela Hutrahi Vechel Bavigida? So Rabbi Yosef Glili says no, the heter's only on Basar Nevela. Rabbi Akiva Savar.
Rabbi Akiva Savar Kishuhutra Nevela Chel Bavigida Nami Hutra.
And therefore, you don't need a pasuk for heter Hana by Chelev, and therefore. Stop. If you read this Gemara, how do you pasuk on halacha? Like Chizkiya or like Rabbi Abba? So this is another derech that the Rishonim always point out, that when the Gemara has, a dechia of a, we'll call it a tushta like this, a correspondence like this, it usually is docha in the direction of the way we paskin. But that only holds true provided that one condition is met, and that is that the Gemara had a choice. That in engaging in this intellectual exercise, which is what the Gemara is doing, it had a choice to say either the Chulei Alma like Rabbi Abba or the Chulei Alma like Chizkiya, and it chose to go down the road of Rabbi Abahu. So then you assume the Gemara is choosing. If the Gemara had no choice of which road to go down because they couldn't have said the Chulei Alma like Chizkiya because it wouldn't get off the ground, which I believe is true in this case, there's no way to do it the other way, then it's not necessarily a raya in terms of Psak Halacha. And it happens to be the Rambam does Paskin. If you wanted to know what would have been, how did the Rambam know? The Gemara doesn't come to Maskana. How does the Rambam know whether Paskin Chizkiya Rebbe Bo? He could point to this Gemara, but it's not 100% of a raya. Okay. So now, fine. So far, the Gemara says that it could be that the machlokas of Tanaim is the machlokas of Rabbi Abahu, but not necessarily. It could be they all hold like they both hold like Rabbi Abahu, and what they're arguing about is this principle: hutra kashutra nevela hutra hi bechel b'vegida or not. Now, of course, the bell should be going off your head immediately that if you don't hold of this general principle, so then you're going to have a problem for Rabbi Abahu in terms of Gidon Asher, even if Yesh Begidon Minosei Tam. If you don't say Kishahutra Hi Vechelba Begida, then how do you know that Gidon Asher is Mutabana according to Rabbi Abahu? And so, of course, the Gemara turns around and asks the following question. Go ahead. And again, if he holds like Rabbi Abahu, then it should be Asr, because if he holds like Rabbi Abahu, it means that Lo Yochlu implies Isr Hana, and Heter Nevela is not Matir the Gid or the Chelev, and that's why he needs a Pasuk by Chelev, and he doesn't have a Pasuk by Gid, it must be Gid should be Asr Bana. Does he hold that way? So the Gemara says, okay, if Chelev, which is much more chamor iser than Gid, is mutar b'hana, Chelev is only aser b'achila, then certainly the Gid should be mutar b'hana.
Why is it more chamor?
Because it gets kares for eating Chelev. You don't get kares for eating the Gid. That's a punishment. Punishment is generally seen, despite the fact that we're told not to measure averus, you know, mitzvahs and averus and so on, and calculate which is more chamor and which is more kal. We do it all the time for halachic purposes. It just means, all that means is that don't, you know, you don't know matan schar and shal mitzvahs. Don't be over an avera. Don't not fulfill a mitzvah because you're making those calculations. But in terms of halacha, for the purposes of limud, of drashos and the Torah, for the purpose of machilin osawakala kal tchila by a cholash esh basakana, we vandai calculate and weigh which isur is more harm than the other. We have to. So here, based upon the fact that chelev gets a bigger punishment, we assume that chelev is a more chamor isur. Okay? Now, stop. What is Rabbi Yosei HaGalili's position at this point in the Gemara, according to the second Teretz? What is his position on the Machlokas Rabbi Abahu and Chizkiya? Rabbi Abahu, what is Rabbi Yosei's position on? What is his position on Yesh Beginim and No Sintam, Aiming Mino Sintam? Trick question, Ari. We don't know, but it doesn't matter, because what is his position on the principle Hutra, Kishi Hutra Hi Bechabagida? It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter what you hold by it, even if it's not Hutra, he holds it's not Hutra. Nonetheless, he says you make a Kavachomer from Chelev, the Gidon Asher is Mutabana. So, if the Rambam Paskins like Rabbi Abahu, and the Rambam Paskins ain't begin with no Saint Tam, does the Rambam have to Paskin Gidon Asher's Aser Bana? No, he could be following Rabbi Yosei HaGalili. In other words, even though the Gemara earlier did not make that clear from the Shach Levitaria that the other possibilities existed, when it gets to this point, it becomes clear that it isn't Haba HaTalia. Not just Stam, we don't like that Ukimta the Gemara. No, the Gemara says Beferish, it's not Haba HaTalia. And they now invoke the earlier Sugya. What about Rabbi Shimon? Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, why did they not say this earlier? Because earlier, you were establishing that Rabbi Shimon held, in fact, that Gidon Asher was Aser Bana. So Rabbi Shimon clearly doesn't want to go down this route. Because whatever Rabbi Shimon holds about Yesh Begin Gidon Asher Tam, Gidon Asher Tam, and whatever he holds by Chizkiya Rabbi Abahu, Rabbi Shimon explicitly holds Gidon Asher Aser Bana. So now the Gemara just has a simple kasha. If the heter or iser hana of Gidon Asher is completely independent of Rabbi Abahu and Chizkiya, and completely independent of Yesh Begin Nosin Tam and Gidon Asher Tam, and it can be learned from a Kavachomer, why doesn't Rabbi Shimon learn it from a Kavachomer? And now the Gemara says, V'Rabbi Shimon de Asar. Oh, what are you going to say for Rabbi Shimon who says explicitly in the Brisa earlier that it's Asar? The Gemara continues. One second. So he says that, what do you mean? You know, when you want to make a Kavachomer, the Homer has to be Homer, and the Kal has to be Kal in all aspects. As soon as the Kal is more Homer in some other aspect than the Homer, then you can't make a Kal the Homer. Why? Because you don't know which is the Kal and which is the Chomer. Did you like that? That was a little like Abbott and Costello. I thought that was clearer than Abbott and Costello. Again, what the Kal b'Chomer means, I have one din that's Kal, I have one din that's Chomer. I want to learn a Kula from the Chomer to the Kal, because if the Kula applies by the din which is more Chomer, it certainly applies to the din which is more Kal. Or I want to learn a Chumra from the Kal to the Chomer. Okay? Therefore, in this case, we started out by saying that Chelev is the Chomer, Gid is the Kal. Why? Because Chelev gets Kares, and Gid does not. So if the Kula of Heter Hana applies by Chelev, which is the Chomer, then it's a Kal v'Chomer that it applies by the Kal, namely the Gid, that it's Mutar b'Hana. Okay? That's the premise the Gemara had until now. So the Gemara says, but it's not a Kal and a Chomer. Why? Because while Chelev is a Chomer in one respect, Gid is a more Chomer in another respect. Gid applies by all kosher animals, at least, maybe even by Behemoth Mea, but not according to Rabbi Shimon. Whereas Chelev only applies to which animals? How do you know that? Because it says, Kol Chelev Shor V'Chesev Vo'ez Lo So Chelu. There you go. It only says three animals. Okay? Whereas by Gid Hanasha, it doesn't say by Behema. It doesn't sing a lot Shor Chesev Vo'ez. And therefore, Gid Hanasha, L'Hulei Alma, I think, applies to Chaya. But that, there's no doubt. The only question is, does it apply to Behema Tmea? So therefore, Rabbi Shimon says that really, Chelev is not, it's not more Chomer. It's more Chomer in some respects. It's more Kal in other respects. When you have something that's more Chomer in some respects and more Kal in other respects, you can't learn a Kal v'Chomer from it to another relative din. Why? Because you never know which category that's going to fall in. Okay? Fine. Chaim?
Before the Gemara asks this question, right, we were saying that it would be learned out from, that the Gid Hanasha would be learned out from a Kal v'Chomer from Chelev. Would we say that he still argued, I mean, we were saying before that it, that therefore we don't really know what Rabbi Avo's Shita according to that would be in regards to whether or not there's a Tom for Gid Hanasha, right?
And as it turns, so, it's irrelevant for Rabbi Avo.
But can you still say, though, that the only way for that Kal v'Chomer to be made in order for it to not be comparing apples and oranges would be that it has to be, that it would
you're
be something
going down the same road that Alec was going down, which the Gemara, at least in terms of what it says explicitly, does not accept. Now, the Gemara assumes that even if you want to say that Ein Meginim Eino Sein Tam, it's still an Isser Achila. That you go through the motions of chewing it up and swallowing it. And therefore, even if you want to argue that Ein Meginim Eino Sein Tam, that doesn't, in other words, just as the Gemara could have said for Avebo, the entire thing's not Akasha. Because it's a unique type of Achila. It's not a real Achila because you're eating Eitz Be'alma. But the Gemara didn't say that, so therefore I assume that for the Kal v'Chomer purposes also you can say that. Rafi?
What would make a Rashi on
No, that's Behema Tmeya, not Chaya. Chaya is kosher, right? Chaya Tahora, right? The reason why, we're not going to do it, but the next Mishnah Chulin on Kuf Amud Beis, the place we're going up into, has the Machlokas within the Chacham, and it has to do, it's a lot of fun for Parshanut, when it says in Parshas Vayishlach, HaKen Yilal Yichlu V'nei Yisrael Sked on Hashem, assuming that Bereishis was either written before Moshe Rabbeinu or written by Moshe Rabbeinu before everything else, one of those two assumptions. So when was that pasuk written? So, and assuming that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wrote the Sefer HaBris, and Rashi says, let's just take that approach. Rashi says that Moshe writes the Sefer HaBris and Parshas Mishpatim, refers to the Torah up until the Aseret HaDibros or something like that, or maybe with the Aseret HaDibros. Did Moshe Rabbeinu write that pasuk then, or did he only write the pasuk later? Was that a mosaic gloss? Or was that the original composition? Okay, now that's kosher. That kind of a gloss is mutta l'chuleyama. Okay. So that in effect is what's happening in the Mishnah, because the whole question is when you say al kein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael sged hanasheh, what are Jews eating at that point? If it's b'nei Yaakov, they could. I know b'nei Yaakov might have eaten pork. Okay. But the point is they could have eaten behemoth, but not the Gid Hanasha, right? If that pasuk was written, but that's what the Gemara says it boiled. That's what the Machlokas seems to be about. And this is Machlokas where we've shown them how to understand when Rabbi Huda says Halo Mbnei Yaakov Nesar, whoever says that El Shenichtav Halo Misinai Nesar Shenichtav Mkomo. So, but bottom line is we're talking about Chaya Tahora, and Chaya Tahora everybody agrees. I think the Mishnah says at the beginning of the parak. I don't think anybody disagrees that it's Noeg Behema Uvachaya. Okay, the only shayla is behemoth tamei. Okay, Jeremy. Oh, the one that you want to see the conclusion of Sachem.
They didn't eat it when it was alive.
Okay, and what is the response back to Rabbi Shimon? So basically, the way I understand this answer is the following. You want to explain, what is this kind of an answer? We're saying, yes, it's true, you're right. Giron Asher is more expansive. But Chaylev is more Chomer by Behema. Well, it's more Chomer when it applies. But it's less Chomer in how it applies. So what is the response to the Gemara? It's Pashut. Avigil, you want to say something? So I think what you have to say is the following. The argument here is, if you were arguing about scope of Chaylev, and you want a scope of the Gid, and you wanted to argue something from Chaylev, whether the Isser Gid does or doesn't apply, then Rabbi Shimon's response would be a good response. What do you mean? Gid is more expansive in other ways, so maybe it's more expansive in this way. But really what the Kal Vachomer says is, I have a piece of Chaylev that's Usser, I have a piece of gid or a gid that's aser. And forgetting about the scope, you know, in what situations doesn't apply, I want to know which is more chomer. The fact that gid hanasha applies in more expansively to more animals doesn't mean it's more chomer. It means it's relevant in more cases, but that doesn't automatically imply chumra. So when I'm trying to make a kal vachomer, I'm simply looking at, here's something that's aser mishum gid, here's something that's aser mishum chaylev, which is more chomer? And if in all respects that we know, other than Hano, which we don't know what the din is one way or the other, chaylev is more chomer than this gid, then you can make a kal vachomer. The fact that chaylev doesn't apply by other things, that's very nice. Okay, but that's not because gid is more chomer than chaylev. That's just because the gid and chaylev perhaps have two different reasons. Jeremy.
So the fact that the Gemara ends off with challenging the Rabbi Shimon's challenge the Kal Vachomer, I mean, uphold the Kal Vachomer against Rabbi Shimon in support of Rabbi Yosef Lili, is that indicative of the fact that Gemara does not pass the Rabbi Shimon?
You don't need to go there. The Stam Mishnah, firstly, the Gemara assumes is Shalom Ali the Rabbi Shimon. Shalach Nech Nachri. Number one. Number two, Machlokas Rab. Number two, you should be aware, there's a Gemara in Eruvin, I think it's Daf, I'm going to say it's Daf Memches, which gives us an order, Kalei Apsak. And the order of the big four of Usha, were Goldberg. Before you leave this institution, I have to scar you one more time. Okay? Who were the big four Tanaim of Usha? Call Florida. Okay? Chaim understands. The big four Tanaim of Usha, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yosei. And the order of Psach that the Gemara gives Rabbi Yosei, the Gemara says that Halacha Karebi, and like Rabbi Akiva Mechave Rav, Velo Mechave Rav, but Halacha Rabbi Yosei Afilo Mechave Rav, because Rabbi Yosei was Nimuko Imo, we must always pass him like Rabbi Yosei in an argument. Not always, but what? No. Rabbi Yosei Bar Halacha. Rabbi Yosei, where were the Jews before? Where did Rabbi Yosei HaGolili ply his trade? Who was his contemporary? Rabbi Akiva. Where did Rabbi Akiva live?
He was, but
where was the Sanhedrin at the time? Yavne. That's why he's called Rabbi Yosei HaGolili, because he was a Galilean, he wasn't a southerner. The next generation, I believe I could be wrong on this, Rabbi Shimon HaTeimani, you have to check who he is, because he's a southerner, and I assume he should have been operating at Usha, but I'm not sure about that. You like that, Len. But the Rabbi Yosei that we're talking about is Rabbi Yosei Bar Chalafta, the one who often says that Abba Chalafta said, and Abba Chalafta was my father Chalafta. So Rabbi Yosei Bar Chalafta is Nimuko Imo, and that's why we was Paschim like him. Then the one on the bottom of the totem pole is Rabbi Meir, where the Gemara earlier in Eivrin Dafud Gimel says Rabbi Meir was so brilliant that they can never tell when he was right and he was wrong. He'd argue both sides of the issue. We need a Talmud named Sumchus, who could give 49 reasons Latar and 49 reasons Latame. That's the Gemara that says in order to be on the Sanhedrin, you had to have, was it 49 reasons to be Matar, 49 ways to be Matar Sheretz or something like that. So because the way my Rebbe always likes to quote this is, Rabbi Meir was so, there is a little bit of an ideological plumbingness. He was so brilliant with his svaras that they just never knew when he was right or wrong, so they didn't paskin like him. Okay, but so anyway, and in between, we paskin Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and then Rabbi Meir. That's the Rabbi Meir's at the bottom. So in general, when you have a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, the default position, it's not an absolute klalei, the Gemara's klalei apsach are virtually never You know, when it's given not as a when it's not a list of cases. Okay. Well, when the Gemara gives a klal epsak, but not like Yal Kagam, where it actually lists them, but when it just gives a rule A against B and it doesn't list cases, it's a rule, but it's not always followed. In other words, it's I wouldn't say it's honored only in the breach. It's more often than not, but nonetheless, it's not an absolute klal. What's that? No, we paskin like the Stam Mishnah, like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon. The issue of the Heter Hana is described explicitly. We have a Beferish Shabraisa that's a Machlokish Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Smith Abana. So we pass like Rabbi Yehuda anyway on our own, and we have a Stam Mishnah like it.
So then, what led to Rashi and Tosafot to understand on by equating in Beginavot
and Tam? So they, for whatever reasons, they assume the fact that the Gemara doesn't give the. They're following only the first Sugim Sachem. You're asking a good question. Why did they not pay attention to the Maskan? I don't know. That would have been a much better teretz for Tosfos than fumfering around to give his chiluk between what Bnei Ashkenaz did in the Mishnah. It would have been a much better teretz, but I don't know why.
Well, so what you're saying here is that the fact that the Gemara does end off against Rabbi Shimon, that's indicative
of
the fact that the Gemara is
passing
against Rabbi
Shimon. Correct, but here's the point. But if you assume that the tushtel that the Gemara makes between Yerbe Abahu and all that stuff stands, and the Gemara says here Behilchasa. Notice Fetosis, the starting point is our sugya, because when Behilchasas we pass, if they're there in the Gemara, we paskin like Behilchasas. So if the Gemara says Behilchasa im Gemara Sentam, then if you only look at the, if you assume that the Tushtel of the Gemara really holds on Daf Chaf Beis, then you understand why Tosis is going to ignore the Stam Mishnah and ignore Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon. You do understand that. The only kasha I would have is, since the Gemara later undoes that connection, so why bother, why be bound by it? I don't know. But interestingly enough, remember the Ramban, if I understood his teretz correctly, also did not say what I'm saying. In other words, he just said, Ba'alma the Rambam thought it wasn't really a solid Haba Hatalia. Yes, and Hilchasa Kavasroi. When the Gaonim say, or the Savarayim say, Hilchasa Kex, that is what we do. I didn't say the Bahag. I don't know who added them in. Are the Hilchasas generally all late? If it's not named, yes. Yes. That's the working assumption. It's generally. Yeah, okay. I understand, but there was a lot of other material, the Bahag as well. But yes, the Hilchasa, whether it's really the Bahag, or it's late. It's Savoraic, it's Gaonic. It's not, but for that very reason, it's why that we accept it. Okay, I don't know if there are any exceptions to that rule, but it's a pretty strongly held rule. And if the Gemara says Vehilchasa, again, whoever is responsible for it, that's what we pasuk. Okay. Yes, Alec.
This might be a klutz kasha, but if we have all this lundus about why in the beginning we know same time and all that, but we have a certain amount of. The Mishnah says, "Gets the Mishark and Basim Alefes and all of that." We have Rabbi Yochanan, who, or when the Tos was resolving the same Rabbi Yochanan, Basim Lekapo, they said, "Well, we're giving a more this year." And why do we have all of this if we must go, we say, "Who is it that's saying Yesh Begin?"
Because there was a historical development or discussion about this issue. There was a Machlokas HaTanaim. As a machlokes amoraim, and just because we don't paskin like amorex doesn't mean we don't discuss it, because it's relevant to the larger. First, Rabbi Yochanan did not say batzel v'kaplet specifically with respect to Gidon Asher.
He said it against Gidon Asher.
Perhaps. So it's certainly relevant to discuss. You know, the baser b'lefes is the Mishnah, because the Tana of the Mishnah holds yesh begidim no same time, and the Tana of the Tosefta holds ain't begidim no same time. So, but there was a Tana who said that way. So it's and he made it into the Mishnah.
Do we have any? Numerical shear of Basim Alefes? Does anybody discuss it?
No, not that I know of.
Because it seems like it's going to be more than like 1 in 20 or 1 in 20.
I have no idea. Okay. All right. Any questions about that, Josh?
I think
there's a quote shear that goes with the Rambam.
Okay.
I think he says something along the lines that when he says the klal of Rabbi Bahu, which is both proof, that applies both Israfila and Israfila. What it really means is that any Isra Akhila is really the Hana you get from the Akhila. And then you also apply to other Hana.
That's clear. Yes, that's
so here, since in the Gid of Benosin Tan, you're not getting out any Hana from the Akhila, therefore it wouldn't apply to other Hana as well.
So does he actually say this by Gid on Asha?
So I want to make...
So I want to make the following point. Unless you assume that the Gemara could have said that, didn't say it, it's beferish against the Gemara. When the Gemara asked the Kasha from Rabbi Abahu, it's beferish against that. And Adrav, I could say the Svara quite the opposite. Of all the Yisurim of the Torah that Chizkiyah might agree to, it should be Gid Anasha. You know why? Because when the Torah asks eating Gid Anasha, and it's not really Achila, it's just some strange type of Hana, because it's not edible, it's really asking Hana. The Hana of putting and filling your stomach with it. You know, the Ran, to borrow the Ran from Nosei Tam Lef Gam, that the greater volume, right, it fills your stomach. So you're not hungry for other things. That's not even called Achila. I would have argued Adrav, but that's what Alec was saying. And that's what Chaim also wanted to say, something like that. But bottom line is the Gemara rejects that Svara. Unless you say that the Gemara could have given this Teretz, but it didn't. But the bottom line is the Gemara never says it. In the first Sugya, it rejects it outright because it never even solves the problem. It assumes that in Hanami, that if you hold Yesh, Ein Megim Nosein Tam, and like Rabbi Abo, that it Takad Ginosh is Aser Bana. And even the Maskana, the Gemara is only Matir, based upon the Kal V'Chomer, not based upon the Svara. Right, but you would have expected if the Gemara knew and thought and accepted that Svara, it immediately would have responded, it's not a Kasha. Again, so you could say that the Gemara could have given that answer, but it didn't because it had another answer at the end of Chaf Gimel. But, you know, that's something of a stretch. Okay. But that's what they were sort of driving. But again, I think that you could also say Svara Fuha. Okay, good. Alec?
You
understand what I'm saying but in terms of the Gemara? What, does he deal with that? Oh, so he wants to explain what the Ramban would say as to why it's really not Haba Hatalia. Right. So the problem I have, you know, this reminds me of the Muradaster of my shul on more than one occasion. You know, he doesn't sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. The Rav used to tell his Talmidim apparently that always follow the middle of your father, except for sitting in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So he told the story in shul that when he got married the first year, he was all ready to sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, and then his parents ended up coming for the last days of Yantav, and he just couldn't do it in his father's presence. So he doesn't sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So on more than one occasion, he's gotten up to give a shir, you know, to give all various kinds of lundus, you know, as to why you don't sit in the Sukkah in the Shemini Atzeres. With the exception of the possibility that the Metzius has changed, you know, we live in colder climates, but not along those lines. And I always laugh when I hear anybody to get up and give a shir as to the lundus, because whatever lundus you say, by definition, is wrong, because the Gemara says, V'hilchasa yasubi yasvin b'richam arachinan. So however good your svara is, the Gemara has rejected it. And the rules of the game are that when the Gemara rejects the Svara, it's wrong. That's the premise of the enterprise of Tarshma Peh. So if you want to give that Teretz, that's a different, again, a different issue. But any lumdus you're going to say as to why, if the Gemara doesn't say it in the Maskana, so it's a machlokish, you say we passed like the other day, even though the Shulchan Aruch and all the Rishonim Paskin that you have to sit. But as soon as you acknowledge that the Gemara says it, but you start to give the Hezber, so it's wrong. Whatever, it's good. The better you make your Svara, the more you have to explain why the Gemara rejected it. So the same thing I would say here. Again, here at least you have an escape hatch. You could argue the Gemara could have said it, but once at the end of Daf Chaf Gimel, it's Dachuk, but that's the only way. And if what the Ramban means, you know, again, he's right in trying to explain what would the Ramban say. Because if the Ramban doesn't mean the Gemara Chaf Gimel, it just means the Ramban didn't take the Kimta very seriously, then you have to explain, well, why not? Jonathan? But you can, Ramam cannot paskin against the Gemara without another Gemara at the back end. Right. Okay. Why? What other two things? The Gemara knows that possibility about the Isser. In fact, Adarab, the Gemara is befavish that it has no influence, because the Gemara knows of the other possibility, Ginanasha, namely that it's Eitz Balma, right? Because the Gemara says, Hani Chalaman Damar, Yesh B'Yosam. This very Sugyan Chaf Beis knows of that. In other words, if you wanted to say that maybe the Gemara here never envisioned there was a Shita in Begin Menosein Tam, fine. But the Gemara here knows the Shita, and nonetheless still thinks it's a Kashim Rabbi Bo, and says that Rabbi Bo would have to hold Aser Bahana. Right? Right here, in the very problematic sugya, it knows that fact. And that was not enough to dissuade it from asking the question. So, anyway, so I think the answer for the Rambam is Pashut. The answer is Pashut. The Gemara ultimately thinks it's not Haba HaTalia. It's not Haba HaTalia. oh, but I have another Gemara. I have another Gemara that says Beferish against this Gemara. And it's almost like it's the maskana of this Gemara. In other words, the Gemara is like an intermediate step. And this, and the second, the Gemara on Chaf Gimel is clearly aware of the earlier sugya because it references Rabbi Shimon at the end that brings him in. So to say I have another Gemara that Beferish rejects the other Gemara, that's a good reason to paskin like the other sugya. But I have a choice at least. But if you didn't have the later Gemara, the fact that there is a sheet that ain't begin no same time, the sugya Chaf Beis knows that. That's not a, it doesn't think it's a stira, and it's not like another Gemara says it is a stira. It's not like there's another sugya elsewhere that says that Gedanesh is not comparable for Rabbi Abba. No, it's your own svara be'alma, but the Gemara didn't know of that svara in this very sugya. So I think that the simple, the proper way to explain the Rambam is that he's following the maskara of the Gemara. It really does raise a fundamental kasha on why didn't Tosfos think of that? Because it seems so obvious. It would have gotten Tosfos out of the handcuffs that he was in. Because really, it's a very, very strained answer in Tosfos. The difference between when you give that inner piece ripped out to the guy that there he's not buying the gid, and there you're not nana from the gid, but when you send the Yerosh Shalem, where the gid is a tiny, 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 tiny fraction, that's being called nana from the gid, which the Gemara assumes it is. The Mishnah assumes, the Gemara's reading of the Mishnah assumes that that's Hana, because they use that Mishnah as the Raya, that it's Motor Bana. So Tosfos should have had a very Pashut Teretz, namely, in the Maskan of the Gemara Psachim, it's not, well, he only quotes what might be the Havamim of the Gemara Psachim. So I don't know, but I think to explain the Rambam is very Pashut. Alex.
When we like for Brachos last year, and I don't have all the source at my fingertips, but that it seems that a lot of, I mean, yes, there's a discussion about Hanas Haheh and Hanas Ben, but a lot of times it seems that in terms of Mechila, the only one that the Gemara is generally concerned about is Hanas Haheh. If that's the case, then when the Gemara is discussing it.
No. Again, every.
No, when it's discussing Achila. Really, it's only concerned about Tom. But when
I know. You're just saying the same thing that they're quoting from the Kovet Shurim. But at the end of the day, it all comes back to the same thing. Despite knowing that fact, that there might be a sheet that ain't begin with no same time, and that the achila of gid is different than the achila of anything else because it's inedible and it's not really hanaas achich. Still, the Gemara asked the kasha against Rabbi Abahu. In other words, you can explain it in 96 different ways and 43 facets in each of how wonderful a svara it is, but it's wrong because it's against the Gemara. And if the Gemara rejected the svara, so you'd have to figure out why you're wrong. I mean, in other words, why the svara is wrong. So I explained earlier what I thought why the svara might be afucha. I might not be right, but the bottom line is the Gemara does not assume that even if you say ein begin mino sein tam, and that the Gid Anush is Eitz B'Alma, the Gemara does not assume that there's any chiluk between Gid and other Yisurim, because they ask the Kasha and Rabbi Abahu. What is he going to do with Gid Anush? Especially if he holds Ein Begim No Sein Tam. The Kasha, particularly if he holds, is strengthened if it's Ein Begim No Sein Tam. No, you know, again, unless you say that the Gemara later ultimately rejects the Tzushtel, and it could have given another reason why it wasn't the Kasha, but just didn't bother. You want to say that, I can't prove that, you know, but it's a very weak argument. You know. In this case, the argument from silence, I think, is the fact that Gemara doesn't give the answer is a very powerful argument, especially because in this sugya, it's stuck. In the Chaf Beis, it's stuck. In Chaf Gimel, it finds a way out, you know, it finds the escape hatch. So what you're saying should be theoretically so obvious, and yet the Gemara rejects it. You're not the only one to have said it. It's not just... I understand. Okay. Fine. I guess we're not going to really... We can just read the top toast is ready. We're not going to deal with it at any length. So, and then tomorrow, what we will do tomorrow is Wednesday, right? So tomorrow, what I'd like to try to do is to, you know, let's not, I'm not, not we won't start toast is now. No point in starting the topic. We have to do for tomorrow. Please prepare the top two toast is, and that really is going to finish off everything but the big chunk that's left, and then prepare the Gemara with Rashi. If you have time, you can start Tosfos. Tosfos is long and hard, but very, very long and very, very hard. So anyway, so that's what we'll do for tomorrow. Fine. Okay.